This is the NOCN ESOL International Advanced Level C1 Listening Examination. Please check that your name and other details are on your mark sheet. The invigilator will have explained how to fill in the mark sheet. The listening examination will now begin. Part 1. You will hear 10 sentences. Read the replies on your examination paper. You will have 2 minutes to read the replies on your examination paper. Seconds remaining. Listen to the sentences. You will hear the sentence in full twice. Choose the best reply for the situation. Then you will have 2 minutes to check your answers. Number 1. I don't know what to do tonight. Number 2. Who discovered the light bulb? Number 3. She has always respected her parents. Number 4. Why didn't you come to visit me in hospital? Number 5. I've already told her about it. Number 6. I really like One Direction. Number 7. Excuse me, is there a post office near here? Number 8. Who broke the vase? Number 9. Have you got any plans for this weekend? Number 10. I'm not sure what result I will get. Now listen to the sentences again. Number 1. I don't know what to do tonight. Number 2. Who discovered the light bulb? Number 3. She has always respected her parents. Number 4. Why didn't you come to visit me in hospital? Number 5. I've already told her about it. Number 6. I really like One Direction. Number 7. Excuse me, is there a post office near here? Number 8. Who broke the vase? Number 9. Have you got any plans for this weekend? Number 10. I'm not sure what result I will get. Now check your answers. You have 2 minutes to check your answers. Seconds remaining. Part 2. You will hear two conversations. Read the question and answers on your examination paper for both conversations. You have 2 minutes to read them. Seconds remaining. Listen to conversation 1. You will hear the conversation twice. Answer the questions, then you have 2 minutes to check the answers.
In our programme, An Eye On, today our eye is on Joanne, a prolific author and philanthropist. Jo, a very warm welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Jo, you have been involved in numerous charities, but one is very close to your heart. Can you tell us a bit more about it?
Yes, Susan. Multiple sclerosis affects roughly 100,000 people in the UK and three times as many women as men will develop the disease. The incidence of MS is higher in Scotland than in any other country in the world. My mum died of an aggressive form of the disease nearly 15 years ago, and in her memory I have helped to fund a regenerative neurology clinic, part of the University of Edinburgh, which is pioneering research into neural regeneration and patient care.
You are also involved in children's projects, is that right?
Yes, that's correct. The United Nations organisation estimates that up to 8 million children around the world live in institutions. These are often called orphanages or children's homes, although at least 4 out of 5 of those children in institutional care have living parents. I got involved with helping children reunite with their families.
And now on a lighter matter, you have a certain fascination. Tell us about it.
Are you referring to my shoe obsession?
You said it.
Well, they hurt our feet and our bank balance, and yet so many of us, they are objects of desire. I am no exception. What is the power and myth of the shoe?
Jo, it's been great talking to you. Many thanks.
You're very welcome.
Now listen to the conversation again.
In our programme, An Eye On, today our eye is on Joanne, a prolific author and philanthropist. Jo, a very warm welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Jo, you have been involved in numerous charities, but one is very close to your heart. Can you tell us a bit more about it?
Yes, Susan. Multiple sclerosis affects roughly 100,000 people in the UK, and 3 times as many women as men will develop the disease. The incidence of MS is higher in Scotland than in any other country in the world. My mum died of an aggressive form of the disease nearly 15 years ago, and in her memory I have helped to fund a regenerative neurology clinic, part of the University of Edinburgh, which is pioneering research into neural regeneration and patient care.
You are also involved in children's projects, is that right?
Yes, that's correct. The United Nations organisation estimates that up to 8 million children around the world live in institutions. These are often called orphanages or children's homes, although at least 4 out of 5 of those children in institutional care have living parents. I got involved with helping children reunite with their families.
And now on a lighter matter, you have a certain fascination. Tell us about it.
Are you referring to my shoe obsession?
You said it.
Well, they hurt our feet and our bank balance, and yet so many of us, they are objects of desire. I am no exception. What is the power and myth of the shoe?
Jo, it's been great talking to you. Many thanks.
You're very welcome.
Now check your answers. You have 2 minutes to check your answers. Seconds remaining. Part 2. Listen to conversation 2. You will hear the conversation twice. Answer the questions, then you have 2 minutes to check the answers.
Welcome, Jill. Thank you for applying for the assistant manager job. Please take a seat. Did you have any difficulties in finding our company?
Thank you, Maxine. There were no problems at all, as I knew your company before. But I still looked up the correct address on the map to check how to get here.
Great. Could you tell us something about your previous experience, education, and why you applied for the job?
Last year I graduated from Leeds University, where I did business studies, and I obtained a BA degree in business management. I wanted to start work straight away to gain experience, so I accepted a job in a big advertising company in London. But I found that living in the big city did not really suit me. I then saw your advertisement on the internet and I thought it was a great opportunity for me to fully explore my expertise and gain new experience, so I applied for the post.
Do you know our company?
Yes, I've already done some research. You're one of the leading companies in the computer design technology.
Very good. The post is vacant. If you were off the job, when could you start?
As soon as I receive a positive response from you, I will hand in my notice. I will, of course, need to comply with the legal period of notice, which is 4 weeks in my case. After that, I should be able to start immediately.
And finally, have you got any questions?
Yes. When am I likely to hear about your decision?
We have 3 more candidates to interview, so you should hear from us on Monday.
Now listen to the conversation again.
Welcome, Jill. Thank you for applying for the assistant manager job. Please take a seat. Did you have any difficulties in finding our company?
Thank you, Maxine. There were no problems at all, as I knew your company before. But I still looked up the correct address on the map to check how to get here.
Great. Could you tell us something about your previous experience, education, and why you applied for the job?
Last year I graduated from Leeds University, where I did business studies, and I obtained a BA degree in business management. I wanted to start work straight away to gain experience, so I accepted a job in a big advertising company in London. But I found that living in the big city did not really suit me. I then saw your advertisement on the internet, and I thought it was a great opportunity for me to fully explore my expertise and gain new experience, so I applied for the post.
Do you know our company?
Yes, I've already done some research. You're one of the leading companies in the computer design technology.
Very good. The post is vacant. If you were off the job, when could you start?
As soon as I receive a positive response from you, I will hand in my notice. I will, of course, need to comply with the legal period of notice, which is 4 weeks in my case. After that, I should be able to start immediately.
And finally, have you got any questions?
Yes. When am I likely to hear about your decision?
We have 3 more candidates to interview, so you should hear from us on Monday.
Now check your answers. You have 2 minutes to check your answers.
Seconds remaining.
Part 3. You will hear a debate and discussion. Read the questions and answers on your examination paper for both the debate and discussion. You have 2 minutes to read them. Seconds remaining. Listen to the debate. You will hear it twice. Answer the questions, then you have 2 minutes to check the answers.
Boxing, the physical skill of fighting with fists, originated as a sport around 800 BC. It is a sport of antiquity that has a troubled and contentious history. The modern-day sport has developed from rules and standards established since this time, with two participation forms: professional and amateur. Our studio debate today is whether boxing should be banned. With us today are two members of the public, Sarah and Kevin. Sarah, could you start, please?
Thank you, Julie. When I first started, the sport was designed as entertainment for aristocrats who enjoyed watching two people slug it out to death. That history is continued in its present-day sport, which is largely entertainment-based activity with millions of dollars investment at the highest of levels. The potential dangers of the sport are a double-edged sword. They create both the entertainment aspect that makes boxing popular, but also run the risk of ending the sport altogether. In the 20th century, approximately 1,000 boxers died in the ring or shortly afterwards.
Well, labelling boxing barbaric merely expresses one's disapproval of it rather than suggesting reasons why it should be banned. Most people who call for a ban on boxing have no understanding of the fight game beyond a good disapproval of it. The appeal of boxing lies in its simplicity, the distillation of the sport contest to its most basic form.
Did you know that the youngest death was a 12-year-old participant? In the first decade of this 21st century, an additional 68 participants have died as a result of their participating in boxing. Such deaths are more common in professional boxing, but deaths in amateur boxing have also been reported. Thousands more boxers have suffered permanent disfigurement, detached retinas in their eyes, and various neurological complaints.
You need to remember that there is no intent in boxing to injure the opponent. The rules are straightforward. One boxer merely has to score more points than the opponent by hitting them within defined scoring regions of the body. Critics are more likely to attack boxing because it is more obviously a fight, rather than a game with a ball in which the athletes hit and tackle one another anyway.
Thank you both very much.
Now listen to the debate again.
Boxing, the physical skill of fighting with fists, originated as a sport around 800 BC. It is a sport of antiquity that has a troubled and contentious history. The modern-day sport has developed from rules and standards established since this time, with two participation forms, professional and amateur. Our studio debate today is whether boxing should be banned. With us today are two members of the public, Sarah and Kevin. Sarah, could you start, please?
Thank you, Julie. When I first started, the sport was designed as entertainment for aristocrats who enjoyed watching two people slug it out to death. That history is continued in its present-day sport, which is largely entertainment-based activity with millions of dollars investment at the highest of levels. The potential dangers of the sport are a double-edged sword. They create both the entertainment aspect that makes boxing popular, but also run the risk of ending the sport altogether. In the 20th century, approximately 1,000 boxers died in the ring, or shortly afterwards.
Well, labelling boxing barbaric merely expresses one's disapproval of it, rather than suggesting reasons why it should be banned. Most people who call for a ban on boxing have no understanding of the fight game beyond a good disapproval of it. The appeal of boxing lies in its simplicity, the distillation of the sport contest to its most basic form.
Did you know that the youngest death was a 12-year-old participant? In the first decade of this 21st century, an additional 68 participants have died as a result of their participating in boxing. Such deaths are more common in professional boxing, but deaths in amateur boxing have also been reported. Thousands more boxers have suffered permanent disfigurement, detached retinas in their eyes and various neurological complaints.
You need to remember that there is no intent in boxing to injure the opponent. The rules are straightforward. One boxer merely has to score more points than the opponent by hitting them within defined scoring regions of the body. Critics are more likely to attack boxing because it is more obviously a fight, rather than a game with a ball in which the athletes hit and tackle one another anyway.
Thank you both very much.
Now check your answers. You have 2 minutes to check your answers.
Seconds remaining.
Part 3. Listen to the discussion. You will hear it twice. Answer the questions, then you have 2 minutes to check the answers.
Social networks have a tremendous effect upon their users. The question is if it's beneficial or not. With me in the studio, Michelle and Sophia, welcome to the programme. Sophia, what's your opinion on that subject?
One of the most crucial elements in any child's development is the ability to socialise with peers. By having a large circle of friends to talk to and share interest, the child gains trust, self-esteem and self-confidence. If you have people to talk to when you have a problem, it is much easier to overcome these problems.
I'm not denying that having a lot of friends has numerous advantages and is undoubtedly beneficial to one's development. I'm simply saying that being active on a social network is not an indispensable prerequisite of this. As an individual, you can meet, talk, connect and share feelings and emotions in real life with your friends without any problems. People nowadays are not more socially bonded since the appearance of Facebook and other social networks. Moreover, you don't need social network groups to meet people who also share your interests, as you have real-life events where you can meet people with whom you have shared interests and thus expand your group.
But I would argue that Facebook and social networks in general help teenagers on multiple levels to maintain and expand their circle of friends. Firstly, it lets you remain in touch with friends even if you are far apart. In our modern world, friend circles tend to be broken up very easily. We need to be able to keep in touch in spite of physical distance, and Facebook enables us to do that.
That's one way of looking at it. But on the other hand, when using social network, teenagers tend to rely too much on them. They are comfortable behind a glass monitor and feel less exposed, because you are not talking face to face to a real person. But when you are forced to socialise in the real world, you feel uncomfortable and awkward, and as a result, the ability to socialise is diminished even more.
Well, I disagree. I think social networks allow young people to spend more time with friends and people they already know through chat conversations, shared photos and status updates. As a result, people who are engaged on these social networks have more self-esteem and confidence, feel more appreciated and tend to be happier in general due to their wide circle of friends.
Sophia and Michelle, thank you very much for sharing your views.
Now listen to the discussion again.
Social networks have a tremendous effect upon their users. The question is if it's beneficial or not. With me in the studio, Michelle and Sophia, welcome to the programme. Sophia, what's your opinion on that subject?
One of the most crucial elements in any child's development is the ability to socialise with peers. By having a large circle of friends to talk to and share interest, the child gains trust, self-esteem and self-confidence. If you have people to talk to when you have a problem, it is much easier to overcome these problems.
I'm not denying that having a lot of friends has numerous advantages and is undoubtedly beneficial to one's development. I'm simply saying that being active on a social network is not an indispensable prerequisite of this. As an individual, you can meet, talk, connect and share feelings and emotions in real life with your friends without any problems. People nowadays are not more socially bonded since the appearance of Facebook and other social networks. Moreover, you don't need social network groups to meet people who also share your interests, as you have real-life events where you can meet people with whom you have shared interests and thus expand your group.
But I would argue that Facebook and social networks in general help teenagers on multiple levels to maintain and expand their circle of friends. Firstly, it lets you remain in touch with friends even if you are far apart. In our modern world, friend circles tend to be broken up very easily. We need to be able to keep in touch in spite of physical distance, and Facebook enables us to do that.
That's one way of looking at it. But on the other hand, when using social network, teenagers tend to rely too much on them. They are comfortable behind a glass monitor and feel less exposed, because you are not talking face-to-face to a real person. But when you are forced to socialise in the real world, you feel uncomfortable and awkward, and as a result, the ability to socialise is diminished even more.
Well, I disagree. I think social networks allow young people to spend more time with friends and people they already know through chat conversations, shared photos and status updates. As a result, people who are engaged on these social networks have more self-esteem and confidence, feel more appreciated and tend to be happier in general due to their wide circle of friends.
Sophia and Michelle, thank you very much for sharing your views.
Now check your answers. You have 2 minutes to check your answers.
30 seconds remaining. This is the end of the listening examination. Please check your mark sheet is completed correctly. Put your pens down. End of examination.